Welcome to Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and Seton Hall University class of 1985. My great pleasure to be back with you today. The purpose of Thank God for Monday is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as to how to utilize the information we provide today and take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Paul Angoni. Paul is the author of 25 Lies 20-somethings Need to Stop Believing, How to Get Unstuck and Own Your Defining Decade. Hello and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Paul.
Oh, thanks for having me, Greg. It's an honor to be here.
The honor is all ours. Let's dive right into the deep end of the pool because we've got a lot to talk about today. What do you believe, Paul, is the number one mistake young adults make early in their careers?
Oh, man, and I made a lot of them. So I know this very well, which is why I became passionate about helping 20-somethings because I felt like such a failure during my 20s. I felt like everybody had it figured out. Everybody was successful. You know, with the way they made it look on social media, it felt like I was the only one struggling. So I think that might be one of the biggest mistakes is not realizing how many times you're going to fail in your life, but especially in your 20s. It is ripe with failure because you're trying new things. You're risking. You're taking chances. You're learning. You're growing. And when I failed, I called myself a failure. I felt like I'm just a failure. And I feel like that's one of those mistakes that we start making is I've missed my chance. You know, some of the lies I talk about in the book, you know, I've missed my chance. I'm the only one struggling. I'm a failure. And that's a really bad place to start because you can't grow and learn. You're just learning and growing. And that's part of the process.
Wow. I'm much older now, certainly than my 20s, but I can remember back and I felt a lot of those same feelings, no doubt about it. Matter of fact, I had commented that if I had had this book 40 years ago, my career would have been a whole lot better.
That's wonderful.
Now, Paul, why do so many 20-year-olds from this generation, millennials, Gen Z, they seem insecure? Is this a perception that's correct? And is this a difference from past generations?
Oh, that's a great question. That, you know, two-part question. You know, I do believe that a lot in this generation are insecure, especially, you know, the biggest difference for this generation, obviously, is growing up in the age of social media. So that's the biggest change. And, you know, I relate it to you used to have to go to your 10-year, 20-year reunion to look everybody up and down, right? To see who's doing better than who. And you just had to fake it for one night. You know, rent a BMW, lose some weight, get a toupee, rent a wife and some kids, you know, whatever you would do. You just had to fake it for one night. And then you could go back to your regular, normal, boring life, you know, or whatever you perceived it as. But now, you know, we're that same phenomenon is being played out with every social media post, with everything that we're updating everybody on the internet, on social media. We're trying to make our lives look so amazing, so envious, like we are not struggling whatsoever. And I think that brings in that insecurity when you're playing this game. And I say we're almost like our own PR agents, you know, we're own public relation agents, and we're trying to send out these press releases all the time to everybody about how amazing we're doing. And what it does is it blocks real authentic connection and conversation because you don't want to be the only one that says, hey, you know what? You know, I'm struggling. I'm sleeping on my parents' couch And you're not taking a selfie on your parents' couch, updating everybody about that, right? So I think that's where some of that built-in insecurities come in from this generation, where I think all younger people, I think all 20-somethings, it's an insecure, confusing time of life for all generations. But now we're just broadcasting it in a way that it's becoming more in our faces.
Social media certainly has changed the world, and we'll probably talk about a little bit more about that a little later on. Now, when it comes to today's generation of 20-somethings, you mentioned 25 lies in this great book of yours. Unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about all 25, but are there a couple that are really the most threatening that you mentioned in this great book of yours here?
Yeah, I think, I think on a simple one, you know, number one, that success just happens. You know, I think everything happens so quickly again for this generation, where we can access any movie, any song, any person at the drop of a hat. In any second, we can be connected globally. And I feel like sometimes we feel like success, stepping into our calling, our career, our vocation, our family, whatever that looks like for us, we feel like it should happen at the same kind of warp speed. But that process really hasn't quickened up at all. You know, I think it, you know, it's like that old adage that it takes about 10 years to create an overnight success. And I feel like that becomes a mistake. So that's why I put it as lie number one, that success just happens. And I use the example of the painter Bob Ross, which I don't know if you remember Bob Ross. He was the art instructor of the Joy of Painting for 31. He had a 31 season run on PBS. He has
this big
afro. You should look him up, Greg. He's great. There's YouTube videos galore. He's become a meme for younger generations just because he's got the big afro and he would talk about happy little trees. And he was just this soothing voice. But I use him as an example, basically, that he would create this masterpiece. I mean, he would paint within the hour, this painting. And it looked like he was creating it from scratch. And it almost looked like magic. You know, he was just creating magic on the screen. But what he was doing, and I realized this later when I watched documentaries, is that he was painting a painting he had already painted. So he worked on this painting for months and months and months to get everything perfect. And then he was referencing that painting off the screen as he was painting, making it look like, and he wasn't lying, he did paint a painting in an hour, but it just showed me that, wow, what looked like magic was actually months and years of hard work to make it look so easy. So my point is that the magician, the people that we look at and say, wow, they just make it look so easy, the magician is actually the least magical person in the room. They're really just the most hardworking person in the room, the most perseverant, probably the most humble. They've had to go through the most. And that's how they're able to make it look so easy. So success doesn't just happen. So that's why I'm trying to tell 20-somethings, you know, it's more about setting the table than it is about enjoying the feast. And that's what success is in your 20s. Set the table. How are we setting the table? How are we building the table? The feast will come later, but you got to have something for it to set on, or you're just going to be eating on the side of the curb, you know, an egg sandwich from the gas station, and that'll be success for you. So let's build a substantial table.
That is really a tremendous analogy, no doubt about that. Is there maybe one or even two more lies you'd like to share with our loyal listeners this morning?
Yeah, I would say the lie, and we touched on this a little bit, but the lie of I need to stay constantly connected. So the level of addiction that is taking place when it comes to our phones or our watch or whatever our device is, we constantly feel this need to be connected online. You know, and I go through this too. You know, if my phone is not in my pocket, I start feeling around. I'm like, I have a little panic attack. You know, it's like I've lost my left arm or something. You know, where did it go? I just constantly feel that pull, you know, and if you're being notified throughout the day with our apps and you're just constantly being interrupted by your phone that's saying, look at me, pay attention to me, spend every moment of your day on me. And, you know, I think it's becoming a lie, and I call it obsessive connection disorder. That we have this disorder with constantly being connected. And then also along with that, obsessive comparison disorder, that we're constantly comparing ourselves with everybody else while we're constantly being connected on the phone. And it really is, I think it's one of the big factors in heightening feelings of anxiety, feelings of depression. It's a tragedy that suicide rates are so high for younger people. And a lot of this is stemming, I think, from this, we have no center. We have no place where we can be silent and pray. These kind of moments are being lost because we're constantly just being filled with noise. The noise. And I think that's a big thing that this generation specifically needs to look at and be intentional about, like you were saying, Greg, to make choices otherwise.
That's so great that you mentioned this, because really before becoming a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn, I spent 30 years in big pharmaceuticals and certainly research, development, manufacturing, marketing. I was more in the finance area, but a lot of freneticism, certainly moving projects along, moving drugs along.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't until I became a brother that I really learned the importance of contemplation, the importance of silence, the importance of getting away. And our 20-somethings, as you say, the phones, the laptops, everything else, they need to step away, no doubt about it. So great advice that you're giving today for our 20-somethings and for the rest of us. So, Paul, thank you again for being here today. Now, it's interesting because we go all the way back to the crucifixion. And we say here that in the Bible, it talks about that incredible conversation between Jesus and Pilate. And he says to Pilate about truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Pilate says, truth, what is this? Mm-hmm. Fast forward 2,000 more years. Paul, why is it so important for our 20-year-olds to really learn the truth?
Yeah, you know, that, and that's the ultimate conversation here, right? Is there an ultimate truth? Is there truth that's outside of ourselves? I believe so. My faith plays a big part of my life. The Bible, the wisdom the Bible provides. I'm very glad I have these things to lean on, that all, it's not just my truth, that I'm not just living my truth. And then that's becoming a phrase these days of just live your truth. Well, my question is, well, what is your truth based on and built off of? Is it built on insecurities, fears? Is it built on broken relationships? Is that where your truth is being built on? Well, that could be a faulty truth. That could be a foundation that is riddled with cracks, that is broken. And then you're building your life on that foundation, and it's going to crumble. You know, and I think we've seen this time, you know, I've seen a lot of 50, 60, 70 somethings who are saying, I wish I could go back. I wish I knew now what I, you know, back then, because my foundation was so lacking. And so that's why I am so passionate. It's because I care. I care so much about this generation, and I've been there. I know what it's like again. I know what it's like to feel like my foundation is not very secure. And so that's why I am passionate about saying, hey, I think there's some lies that are tearing us down. Let's talk about that. And then here's some next steps. Here's some ways. Let's get to some truth that I feel like is more life-giving than maybe the current way that we're looking at this. So that's really my passion for the book, is to get to truth and to use these lies as a way to get there, and stories and humor, and make it not a dry conversation, but a really rich conversation to get to truth.
You do it in such a way, and the Thank God for Monday listeners know I'm a terrible reader. Even I could read this book so easily. Oh,
that's good.
So beautifully, no doubt about it. Now, this next question we've talked a little bit about, Paul, but I think we want to peel the onion because it's so important. Many young adults have an idea of what their life is supposed to look like at a certain age. You mentioned this before, the 5-year reunion, the 10-year reunion, the 20-year reunion. Naturally, many of us don't achieve this. But why do young adults do this to themselves? Why do they think that their life has to look a certain way? What can be done?
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, and that comes from the lie that I mentioned in the book, of the lie that life is not looking like it was supposed to, or success is not looking like it was supposed to. And I remember having that moment where I was in my 20s, I was really wrestling with this question of, why am I not successful like I was supposed to? When is my life going to turn out like it was supposed to? But then it hit me. It's a very simple realization of, well, what is my supposed to? What is supposed to? What am I building this expectation on? And is it realistic? So I think it is natural for younger people to have dreams, to have big goals, to have maybe unrealistic ideas about what I want to do with my life. And I think that's great to have that optimism. But I think what you start learning as you get older is, can you keep the dreams? Can you keep the hope? Can you keep those big ideas of things you want to accomplish, but also be able to pivot and change? You know, that success is really not about things going as you planned, but how you adapt, change, and grow when things don't go as planned. And that is life. That's life throughout the rest of your time here on Earth, is about adapting, changing, growing, pivoting when things don't go as planned. And it's very uncomfortable. That's an uncomfortable place to be, because you feel like, well, gosh, I don't know what the next step is. And so I think that's why we hold on to our expectations so tight and saying it has to be like this. And if it doesn't, then we're mad at God. We're mad at ourselves. We're mad at our parents for lying to us. When instead we just maybe need to pivot and just change that expectation a little bit. And then we'll realize, wow, God's actually orchestrating something much better than I ever could have dreamed of. But I have to let go of some of the details of the day to get there.
No doubt about that. And again, it wasn't until I became a brother that I realized that I would do a lot of planning. Being in pharmaceuticals and being an accountant, a CPA, there's a lot of planning involved there. And I would do all this planning, and someone said to me, Greg, you plan and God laughs. And I think it's so perfectly, because my life has totally turned upside down the last 20 years, and I'm so grateful to God that it has, but I never would have thought I'd be a Franciscan brother of Brooklyn, certainly 20 years ago. So God does have these great plans for us, and in the matter of trust and the matter of letting go, as you talked about, certainly. Mm. Now, we've got listeners, Paul, naturally from the class of 2021, from Seton Hall University and other colleges. They are going to be doing some interviewing. Maybe they've started already. Let's shift gears, if you don't mind. Talk about some tips for preparing for a big job interview. What can someone do to stand out from all the other candidates today? Because the standing out is really important today more than
ever. Man, there is a lot of things you can do. You know, and if you're in a physical interview with somebody, if you're lucky enough to be face-to-face with somebody, I would just say there's even simple things you can do in that space to make sure that you are showing them that you are, you're a good hire. So, I mean, something as simple as, for one, the simplest thing is turn your phone off, turn notifications off. Do not check your phone. If you have a smartwatch and you're tempted to look at that, take off the watch. Don't take your eyes off that connection. Because anytime you're looking away, if you check your phone, if you check your watch, you're going to be showing that other person this is more important than you are. And the interviewer doesn't want to have that feeling. Other simple things, leaning forward, smiling, not crossing your arms, not leaning back, simple ways that you can do with your body, just again, engages, showing that you're engaged, showing that you're active, because that is going to be the knock. A lot of leaders are going to have this expectation of you that you don't know how to do personal communication. And that might be some of their worry, is that you don't know how to speak to somebody in person. And so if you can show them that you can, and you can engage somebody in person, because even if you're doing a job on the computer, they're still coworkers, they're still bosses, they're still clients that you're going to have to engage. So I think showing that you're able to do that, it will give you a leg up in this world.
Ah, what great advice, Paul. Listeners, for anyone who's just tuned in, welcome to Thank God for Monday. We're the weekly talk show about the workplace here on WSOU, 89.5 FM, locally and streamed around the world at www.wsou.net. I'm Brother Greg from the class of 85. Much, much more important than me today, we've got a very, very special guest. His name is Paul Angoni. He is the author of this great book, 25 Lies, 20-somethings Need to Stop Believing, How to Get Unstuck and Own Your defining decade, checking in with us this morning all the way from beautiful San Diego. He's on vacation and has kindly gotten up very, very early to be with us today. So again, thank you, Paul, for that. And we've been talking about some of these lies. We've been talking about obsession, comparison disorder, certainly on Facebook, the tweet, et cetera, et cetera. He just gave some great interview tips. And now let's fast forward a bit, Paul. We've got the job. Okay, but we need some advice. We need advice for keeping the job and how to develop a strong work ethic early on.
Yeah.
Help us out, please. How do we do that?
Gosh. Yeah, I remember watching a graduation speech from Conan O'Brien, you know, the famous talk show host. And I really liked the line that he said. He was giving advice to, what was it, Harvard grads, Dartmouth grads, an Ivy League school. I apologize for getting them wrong. But he said, do you work hard and are you easy to work with? And he said, if you're able to do those two things, you're already going to stand out. If you work hard and you're easy to work with, you're going to stand out. You're going to be a great employee already. And I would say that sometimes we get stuck in this place of, well, this isn't my dream job. This is not, again, what I expected. This is not a job I was really hoping for. I just had to get this to pay the bills. We all get in this place because that's, again, reality in your 20s. You know, working lousy jobs in your 20s is a rite of passage. You know, that is the American rite of passage. We're not going to go out into the forest and kill a bear with our bare hands anymore. You're going to have to work late hours and get coffee and do paperwork. So the goal is not worrying so much about, is this the wrong job? But really focusing on, am I bringing the right me to this job? So no matter what it is, if you're serving coffee, if you're doing paperwork, are you doing a good job? Are you doing a job like if you were working for your parents, if this was a family business and you were working for your parents, would you feel comfortable about the work you're doing? Because you're actually doing good work. And I think we sometimes get stuck in this spiral of, well, this is a lousy job. I don't really like it. It's not my dream job. So you know what? I'm going to do a lousy job at my lousy job, and then I'm going to quit. And I didn't really learn anything at this job. So now I'm going to get another lousy job, and I'm going to do a lousy job at that lousy job. And it's just, you go through that. And there's people that do that their whole lives because they never figure out, you know, I can learn a skill at this lousy job, no matter what it is. I can learn a skill set that I can then leverage to another job that will be less lousy, or starting my own business because I've learned a skill set. And I think that is an important progression that we lose today.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, as we know, our show is entitled Thank God for Monday. And one of the reasons people like to come on Thank God for Monday, we can feel free to talk about God. And you mentioned before, Paul, this wonderful faith you have. How can God help young adults succeed in life? And how does our relationship with God determine outcomes in our lives? Tell us from your vast experience.
Yeah, gosh, that's a question, right? That I feel like you guys probably sit and reflect on that question for 40 years. You could sit and reflect on that question.
Absolutely.
So I should be asking you that question, but I will do my best. I am a pastor's kid, so I've been around my dad. I've been watching my dad answer this question for many years. But yeah, faith plays a big role. You know what? During my hard times in my 20s, times when you feel alone, times when you feel like a failure, times when you feel like nothing is going as planned, I'm the only one struggling, you know, these lies. And I call it the liar. You know, I feel like there is a spiritual battle going on too. And I feel like the liar is coming at you and wanting to believe a lot of these lies, that you're nothing, that you're no good, that these names that you've been called are true. And I feel like God's trying to speak the opposite. And for me, when I was really struggling, I was in LA at the time, Los Angeles, and, I would hike above the Hollywood sign. It was the only real place you could go in the middle of LA. It's at Griffith Park. There's some trails there, you know, and it's all smog and it's hot. You know, and there's tons of people everywhere, but I'd hike above the Hollywood sign and I would just pray. And I would call it warring for hope. I was warring for hope, and I was declaring that, the current reality I was in, it felt very dismal, but that wasn't going to be my life forever. that my reality was more than that, that God had plans for me, purpose for me. He had a name for me, you know, these promises that the Bible speaks of. So that's what I would call it. I would call it, I was warring for hope, just trying to war for that hope to take me over instead of the current reality, which looked dismal. And so that's what I think faith it can be for younger people that says, you know what? No, this is not it. This is your story doesn't end here. This is just a part of your story that's building you for the next chapter. And so if we can keep that hope alive, and I do feel like that's such an important thing that faith gives us, is that hope. And hope does not disappoint us because we can have that belief in that faith.
Oh, so beautifully said. How inspiring that is, Paul. Now, it's interesting because Seton Hall being the Catholic University of New Jersey, but we've noticed that there are some young adults that who don't attend church anymore, and some really have lost all their belief in God. Do you have any perspective, Paul? I don't want to put you on the spot, but why do you think this generation has turned away from God and religion? And is it possible that because of this, that many, many young adults are so unhappy? Share with us, please.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, having that faith is such an important part of our lives and our health, emotional, spiritual, mental well-being comes from that centeredness. And I think, you know, I think it is a struggle in ways where there's a lack of trust, I think, for this generation, for many institutions. So whether it's a corporation, whether it's a church, a synagogue, whatever it might be, I feel like there's a real lack of trust in some. And again, I think that's a younger person thing. You know, in the 70s, they were struggling against the establishment and institutions as well. You know, as they were fighting, you know, the Vietnam protests, they're fighting against that feeling of, don't trust anybody over 40. So again, this has been going on for many generations, but I think right now trust is real minimal. And, you know, every time a church leader falls or, there's some new scandal, you know, the media just hypes it all up and all the attention goes there. And it just, again, I think it paints this picture that maybe is unfair. Because it's so minute, you know, it's so small, the amount of times that this is happening, but it makes it feel like this is happening all the time. So I do think there is a lack of trust, with some institutions. So what a church leader could do, you know, if we're going to speak to church leaders, is try to be as authentic and real as possible and creating a safe space where we can talk about hard things so that trust can be built. And I think that's an important step in the progression.
No doubt about that. I couldn't agree with you more that trust is pivotal. We need to regain the trust of the 20-somethings. No doubt about that. Paul, we've saved the most important question for last. From where can our little listeners purchase 25 Lies 20-somethings Need to Stop Believing, and how can they best follow you?
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you again for having me on. This has been a great conversation. It's an honor to be here. The easiest way for people to find me is at my website, allgrownup.com. But it's grown like you're groaning in pain, G-R-O-A-N, allgrownup.com. So growing pains, you know, all grown up. And they can access free chapters from all my books at my website. So you can just get free chapters if you want to check them out. Or you can buy 25 Lies at Amazon is probably the simplest way to find 25 Lies, 20-somethings Need to Stop Believing, or some of my other books as well are on there too. So, but I would love to connect with anybody. Go to allgrownup.com. You can find me on Instagram at Paul Angoni, and I would love to connect to people who have any more questions or want to continue this conversation.
Paul Angoni, we can't thank you enough for being a guest here on Thank God for Monday. Yes, you've enlightened us much more. You've inspired us. We wish you continued success, joy, happiness, and contribution. And in the very short term, enjoy a continued wonderful vacation with your wife and four children out there in lovely San Diego. And good luck once you get back to Colorado, certainly.
Thank you
Listeners,
so much.
And when you're done following Paul, don't hesitate to continue to follow us. Our pleasure, Paul. Listeners, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, the Tweet, and LinkedIn as well. We'd love to hear from you. Listeners, sadly, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Brother Greg saying, my hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Paul Angoni does, you'll say, Thank God for Monday.